Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning and welcome once again. Permit me to set a scene for you. You are on your way home from a church service, having just heard a message, a very specific message regarding homosexuality, that within the totality of Scripture, both Testaments, that there's no allowance in God's Word for the practice of homosexuality to any degree on any level. Now, sitting in church, you're very comfortable and you're appreciative of what you've heard. You've not only heard the message, but you've seen for yourself in Scripture that, again, homosexual practice in God's eyes is a sin. But now, as you're on your way home, you know you're going to be facing a gay-identified son or daughter who sees nothing wrong with homosexual practice, could very well be in a same-sex relationship, possibly even same-sex married. Where do you begin to address that? What's the starting point? Well, I'm very, very pleased this morning to share with you. I have a very special guest this morning. She is a dear friend of many years, a ministry partner as well of many, many years. She's the founder of Living Stones Ministries, which continues to have its home base of operation in Glendora, California. We have ministered numerous times over these many years in conferences. She is also the author of a dynamic book titled Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild: Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness. My guest this morning is special friend and ministry colleague, again, of many, many years, Carol Wagstaff. Good morning, Carol, and welcome back.
Thank you.
So glad that you're here. And let's begin with the scenario that I presented about being in church, hearing the message on homosexuality. But now you're on your way home to face that child, that wayward child that says there's nothing wrong with homosexual practice. Mm-hmm. Now, you have extensive ministry experience and expertise in ministering over many, many years to Christian parents with gay-identified children that often they find themselves challenged. So let me ask you, where do you begin to address this? How do you begin to connect with this wayward child?
That's a really good question, Philip. And unfortunately, so many families are so hurt and wounded by the news of what's happening with their children. And I think one of the hardest things is dealing with our own feelings about it, because there's a sense of maybe fear, a sense of shame perhaps, guilt, all the things that come along with that. And we're just so often not ready for that kind of news. So I'd like to start, Philip, by saying talking to the parents and saying, you know, where are you on your journey? Because this definitely is a journey, and very often when the news comes, then it's very devastating to the parents. And I think what I learned quickly was that we as parents take on this kind of feelings of guilt and shame and fear and all of that, and those do not come from the Lord. That is not something that God would have us focus on. But it's just part of the human experience to have that come into our lives. And sometimes we react rather negatively to our kids, like saying things like, well, how could you do this to me? You know,
yes.
I took you to church every Sunday, and we're a Christian family, and we don't do things like this, so how could this happen? And I think that's a very difficult part of what happens in the eyes of parents. And then there's a sense of shame, so maybe they don't want to tell others. Because the culture itself blesses homosexuality now and transgenderism. And now they're like, in the dark because there may be a real fear of letting other people know.
Yes. Isn't the brokenness of same-sex attraction just a bit too complex for parents to heap all of the blame upon themselves? Do you agree?
Yes, I think it is. I think that's the immediate response, is feeling this guilt. I know I've heard parents talk about just looking back through the years and trying to think of every situation that might have contributed to this. And I think, indeed, that it's not God's will for us to spend that time when, indeed, He wants us to be able to speak to them in love and not let Satan, I think Ruth, Satan really plays a role in this, to just carry so much shame and hurt. So I would just say, yes, we all have some fault in our background because we are human. We are just plain human.
Yes.
And we will do things that we regret with our children. We will have times where we blame ourselves. We'll have times where we blame them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really a sidetrack scripturally, because God does not want us to carry this shame forever or to keep focusing on that when He wants to focus on bringing healing to not only the kids, but I firmly believe, Philip, that this is a test for parents as well, that God wants to bring healing to them.
Yes.
And maybe God would have them see some things through the eyes of their children, which indeed could be very healing to the whole family.
Absolutely.
So,
yes.
So I'm thinking that we cannot continue focusing. And I know that's a response that we have, and there's sort of a process, a grieving process, that we go through. But the key here is to turn it over to God and to let Him walk us through that as well as our kids.
Yes. And again, the whole subject matter of homosexuality is so, so complex. And I do understand that parents will, by and large, they'll turn inward and they do want to blame themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've shared over these many, many years with Christian parents in particular, nobody wins in the blame game.
Yes.
Nobody wins.
That's right.
And again, ultimately, we each have to take responsibility for our own lives. I mean, we all have various forms of brokenness that
mm-hmm.
God is more than able to heal and to restore.
Yeah.
But we have to be willing to let Him have unhindered way in our lives, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I think we need to turn to the Lord. I think that's where we get caught up, too, as we look at ourselves, and all of a sudden, Satan just puts us into this pity party, you know?
Yes.
And why didn't God take care of my child? Or I took them to church. How come they're having this problem? And so we focus on ourselves, and God wants us to turn to Him and bring the whole situation to Him and let Him speak to us. I think we tend to get caught up in the guilt when God indeed wants us to turn towards fighting for our children.
Yes.
To bring them to Him and to help them to know how to move forward in that.
Yes.
And I think that's the key, is learning how to move from that grief to turning it over to the Lord and asking God to show us how to move forward on it.
Yes. And I think a real legitimate concern, if not caution, is we can so easily get stuck in that why God,
mm-hmm.
and at some point we've got to transition to, okay, God, where do we go from here?
Yes.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, I mean, I know and you know as well that the whole subject matter of homosexuality is vast. It's a huge topic and often extremely emotional. But at some point, we've got to look to the Lord to say, look, I don't understand why this has happened. I don't understand what's going on with my kid. But I'm trusting you to turn this all around for good, which He has so many times in so many lives.
Yes. And I think that's the key, moving from the grief to turning it over to the Lord. And that can take some time, Philip. I know there were parents that I worked with, and I went through it myself in my husband struggling with it. And it was really hard for me to move out of my self-pity. And I really think that Satan uses that to just lock in to this sense of there's no hope, I can't help my kid, what have I done to my child? all the kinds of emotions that are there. Mm-hmm. And we're afraid. We're really afraid to step out and trust the Lord with our kid, to say, Lord, he was or she was a gift from you. You gave me this child.
Yes.
So now I need you to show me how to move forward with them.
And that's hard for parents to do, isn't it, with children? I mean, just to turn them completely, to relinquish control completely over to God in their lives, that's hard for parents to do.
It's very hard. It's very hard. And it's something that you have to stay on top of. I remember different people. I even remember Barbara Johnson talking when she found out about her son, that she laid in bed and counted the flowers on her wallpaper. Well, you know how long ago that was.
Yes.
But I think that's something that so often happens with parents. It's, we're so connected with our kids. They are life to us, and we take responsibility for what's happened to them. So there's so much guilt, so much hurt, and learning to process that before God is so important. I think about how important it is for us to be honest before God.
Yes.
And just say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I feel responsible for it. Dear God, show me how to move forward on this. And I think that's where the scripture comes into, just to beg God to show us his word and to have faith in what he wants to do in us as a family.
Yes.
And we just get so caught up in it's all about me syndrome. Mm. It's really not. It's what God wants to do in us, in our children, in our family, and to be able to trust him in that.
I believe also we need to realize, if not acknowledge too, that there is no such thing as perfect parenting.
Oh, you got bingo. You got it right there. You know, I think it's so hard because we tend to think that we are perfect and that we've done everything right. I remember one father who was mad at James Dobson because he said he followed everything James Dobson said, but then his son became gay. And so we look for people to blame, or we look for situations to blame. And there are so many ways in which our kids are impacted. We have no way of knowing what those are.
Exactly.
And we cannot do it by ourselves. God is the only one who knows our children better than we do.
Yes.
He knows everything that's happened to them. He knows the way that they have built these thoughts and these beliefs in everything that's happened to them. And so we have to rely on God. There is no way we can know all that's happened that has caused this.
Yes.
In their lives.
Let me ask you also, now we know all too well that this whole subject matter can become very, very emotional, if not heated.
Yes.
Does anything positive at all ever come out of arguing about this whole matter?
You know, I was really thinking a lot about that, Philip, and thought, how, you know, when you ask me about arguing, are you talking about between the parents and the gay-identified child?
Well, I'm thinking more of arguing with anyone on the subject.
Yeah.
I mean, we want to, sometimes I think we as Christians, sometimes we want to, if not maybe the ultimate goal is we want to win the argument.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm concerned that when we focus on winning the argument, people fall through the cracks.
That's right. It has to be, it cannot be a contest. It cannot be, say, me over you. And I think particularly when a child first comes out, there's a real sensitivity that we have to watch. Because if we try to argue with them and bring up the books that we've read or whatever, and this is something you need to read, we are missing the mark. Because the greatest thing we need to do at this point in time is to bond with our kids. We need to be able to go back to them.
Yes.
And find out what's going on in their lives and listening to them, Phil. But listening is so important.
Yes, yes.
And so often when we hear from our children, we start to argue with them. Well, this is what so-and-so said, or this is what I read in this book, or all of that, and the major thing we need to do is to bond with them.
Yes.
To go back and to let them know how much they're loved and listen to what they're saying to us. Where has this started? Where did it begin? And how can mom and dad want to help you? We love you. you know, that kind of thing, rather than to argue with them.
Yes.
And I think that's hard, because as parents, we believe that we can control our children and change them.
Yes.
But our children get to a point where they want to be independent. They want to make their own decisions. And they don't want to hear what mom and dad have to say. And that's one of the most difficult parts of this whole issue. Because to do what we want, then we used to punish them.
Yes.
when they wouldn't do what we want. So here we are at a point in their lives where they need to have some independence, and we know that.
Yes.
But we have to do it under the authorship of Christ and of God in their lives. But getting them to be able to talk is so important in all of this.
And you're bringing a very, very important factor to this whole discussion in terms of listening. I have shared many times, you want to be an effective communicator, you really want to reason with and connect with someone on this subject, the first three steps are listen, listen, listen.
Oh, yes. That's so true, Philip. And, you know, so many times as parents, we're so caught up in our daily lives. Most parents have, both of them work, they have big responsibilities, maybe they have a family of four or five children. So it is so hard to have time to spend with our children, to really hear them. And when they're starting to approach teenage years, and it's so important for them to feel loved by their peers.
Yes.
Peers become almost more important than the parents.
Yes, yes.
So we have to somehow, in our schedule, and being with our children, we have to listen. We have to hear their hearts. We have to hear what's going on in their lives. And it's so important to do that.
Yes.
And I think then we want to interrupt and defend ourselves sometimes as parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do that. We have to continue to listen and say to them words like, tell me more about that. How did that make you feel? And to have open-ended questions that will keep them talking.
Yes.
Instead of jumping in and giving them all the kinds of reasons why what they're telling you is not true, even though there probably are a lot of mm-hmm. things that are not true.
I think a wonderful question to pose that could spark unbelievable conversation is simply, tell me your story, please.
Yes.
That could open volumes of discussion and answers and dialogue. So it's very, very simple. Just tell me your story, please, and then listen.
Yes. And then thank them for being open to you.
Yes.
Because you wonder how long this has gone on in their minds, and how long have they thought that this was really true about themselves.
Yes, yes.
So tell me more. Thank you for being open. I so appreciate hearing what you want to share with me.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to affirm what they're doing so that they can feel heard. So many times we can have our children try to talk to us, and we're doing the dishes or we're watching television or whatever, to be able to stop that. I remember one young man telling me his dad always watched television, and he would try to talk to his dad, and he would never take his eyes off the TV. And to be able to look at your child in the eyes, not responding to them while they're trying to talk to us, but really hear what they want to say to us.
Yes,
and
yes.
That is so important. And this becomes, I even have a thing that I ask, this is more with couples that I've been doing some challenging with, and that is I have them sit at the table and they face each other. And they each get 5 minutes to start with, or maybe even less if they're afraid to do that. Some parents are very afraid to do something like this. But to be able to put a clock there, a timer there, and say, okay, you have, 3 minutes, you have 5 minutes, you have 10 minutes, and I'm not going to say a word.
Oh, a lot can be said in 5 minutes. Whoa.
So being able to listen for that long is pretty hard. But let's say we're not even doing that. We're just asking them to talk and to be able to respect listening to them
mm-hmm.
and not talk over them or try to defend ourselves or interrupt or, well, that's not true. We make comments like that, you know, to be able to listen.
Well, just facing one another for 5 minutes. I mean, facial expressions alone can speak volumes.
Yes, absolutely. It absolutely can. So, and to do all of it with a great amount of prayer, Philip, I always tell everyone, you know, God is in us. He wants more than you do for your child not to go that route.
Yes.
So listen to the voice of God. What is he telling you to do? When your child is talking, what is the Lord telling you? And so I think there's so much, it's really a very much an art, and it needs a lot of prayer to be able to get to have that exchange of listening and hearing.
Yes.
And I think that's very much a part of this.
Well, let me ask you, now, you and I, again, we know all too well that, in particular, for Christian parents, when homosexuality becomes known in the family, the pain can often be excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a lot of parents, they don't want to reach out. They don't want anyone to know what's going on, that they're struggling with any aspect in the family. Why would a support group, a care group, be advantageous for parents with gay-identified children? Why would a support group be helpful to them?
I think what's so important, Philip, is you know you're not alone. I think when this happens, so often parents feel embarrassed or maybe have some shame, and they fear telling anyone because maybe they think they can do it themselves. But we need each other. If you're not willing to go to a group and share your pain, then how do you think your child is going to work through their issues?
Good point.
I think to have support, to listen to other parents talk about what's going on in their lives and how much they are hurting through all of this, it's so important to have that support. And I've seen some wonderful things happen in support groups, and I think it's very, very important.
And you're on a common journey with other people. Mm-hmm. That are on the same journey, and that can be very, very healing, and
yes,
heaven
is.
Knows extremely encouraging.
Absolutely.
That you're not alone.
That's right. That's right.
Let me also ask you, Carol, because, and you mentioned this a moment ago, again, a lot of parents, Christian parents in particular, they often have to come face-to-face with and deal with the shame factor.
Mm-hmm.
How do they work past that?
You know, I think it's only through the Lord, Philip. Because God does not want us to have that shame. He doesn't want us to live in that. So I think we need to turn to the Lord and just, we all probably feel in some way that we're guilty. We have to bring that guilt to the Lord. We have to bring that shame to the Lord. And I love the idea, too, to get the idea, this is not about me. It's about Satan trying to take my child. And I'm going to fight for my child. I even pray sometimes, Lord, I'm not going to let Satan have my child or have my grandchild or whoever it is. I am standing with you, and I'm not going to carry the shame because that's just a trick of Satan to help me not to stand firmly with the Lord in the life of my child.
Do you know that is the exact prayer that my mother prayed for me? I didn't know for like 8 or 9 years into my new life in Christ that I was speaking with her one day, and she said, you don't know how many times I got in the devil's face in prayer and said, I don't care what he's done. Don't even care how many times he's done it. In the name of Jesus, you can't have him anymore. And that's what it takes, Mom and Dad.
That's exactly
standing
right.
In the gap.
Yes. And, oh, praise God for that. Because so many times, as parents and individuals, we think it's all about us and things that we can do to change our kid and so on like that. And it is a spiritual battle because only God knows our children.
Yes.
He knows them.
Yes.
So praying in faith to say, I am not going to let go of my child. You're not going to have him, Satan. So get thee behind my back.
Yes.
You know, or however you like to pray about it. But that's so good to hear that about your mom.
Well, we are almost out of time, my friend. And before we are out of time, I want to remind all of our listeners that you are the author of a wonderful, wonderful book. Again, the title is?
It's called Reclaim, Restore, and Rebuild. And the byline is Hope for Families Impacted by Sexual Brokenness.
It's available at Amazon?
It's available at Amazon, yes.
Outstanding. Uh-huh. Well, we have barely scratched the surface, but again, I want to encourage everyone, if you want a dynamic resource for your library on this subject matter, get a copy of Carol's book. Carol, to close out our broadcast this morning, I'd like to give you time, please, to pray specifically for Christian families that may be impacted by unwanted same-sex attraction. So again, please, would you pray?
Yes. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are not without hope, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you know our children better than we do, Lord. You know all that's happened to them throughout their lives. And God, we just pray right now for that parent that is just devastated, that parent that's lost all hope, God, that you are our hope. You are the one, Lord, that makes the difference in our families, in our lives. I pray, Lord, that even as individuals, you will take and change our own hearts. If there is sin, if there is stuff that has happened to these parents, Lord, I pray that they would encounter you, that they would confess before you and claim your peace over their lives and your forgiveness, Lord, and then just take on helping them to fight for their children, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll help them to find verses of Scripture, Lord, that will encourage them and pray that over their children, dear God. You are the healer. I am the God who heals you. Thank you, God, for that, because we don't have to live in just real discouragement, Lord. You are always there for us. So we bring this to you in your mighty name, Lord, knowing that you can bring that healing to our children and to our entire family. And we believe that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so, so much. For all of our listeners, if you'd like more information regarding His Way Out Ministries, we invite you please to visit our website, which is hiswayout.com. I hope you can join me again next Saturday, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.